Hello, colleagues, and welcome to TDSB Human Library, conversations around equitable, anti-racist, and anti-oppressive practice. We are your hosts, Shale Graham and Dr. Stephanie Fearon from the Equity, Anti-Racism, and Anti-Oppression team. We have an insightful conversation in store for you today. Are you ready to talk courageously? Let's get into it. Hello, colleague community, and welcome to the TDSB Human Library podcast series. In this episode, we will discuss The Time Is Now, Reimagining the Kindergarten to Industry Pipeline with mother, educator, STEAM enthusiast, system disruptor, and director of programming for K-I Academy at York University, Lisa Cole. Without further ado, let's get right into the conversation. Lisa, can you take a moment just to share with us some of the roles you've occupied that have equipped you to do the work that you do?
That's a very interesting question because though it is true that I have held a variety of roles professionally leading up to this one, I think what has prepared me for my current role is actually a culmination of many experiences intermingled with formal and informal learning and a willingness for others to actually engage in conversation and work with me. I think it over the years, I've been fortunate enough to have had a variety of opportunities that connected me with people that has inspired me. And I think the work I do is actually a compilation of all of those experiences. You know, when I think back at myself as a high school student, I actually said two things that I would never consider doing. I actually said I would never teach because, you know, that work requires a lot of patience. And at the time, I really didn't think I had that ability. And, you know, secondly, I honestly didn't really enjoy physics at the time. And though I continued to take, you know, some physics in my first year because it was required, I never dreamed that I would have eventually would have completed a physics degree. And so, you know, I wonder about those moments in my life where, you know, your decisions branch off into a direction that is quite different from what you have imagined. And who were my influencers at those moments in time that guided me to become who I am today? And I often, you know, think about that when I'm thinking about working with youth and educators in public education.
Now, Lisa, in our conversation prepping for the podcast, you mentioned three metaphors that I just want to shed some light on. The first metaphor you mentioned is a pipeline only has one entrance, one exit. When it comes to STEAM, the pipeline is so leaky that students fall out along the way. The second metaphor you mentioned is the problem with pathways is pathways aren't safe and accessible for everyone. And the third is the future of education is not a pipeline. It's not a pathway. It's an ecosystem. And ever since you spoke about this idea of an educational ecosystem, I have been meditating on this. So I'll ask you this. Can you explain your metaphor of an educational ecosystem? And in 2021, why is it important for educators to make the shift away from a pipeline model?
We use metaphors to describe lots of complex systems, and this one's an intriguing and interesting one because I, you know, often think about how we communicate as a way of describing the situation currently in STEM education, and you know how language matters. So thank you for this question. So let me start first with sharing a few numbers a few stats, not to paint a complete picture, because, you know, identities are complex. And sadly, we don't hold a lot of data when it comes to identity-based data in Ontario. So, you know, I'm just going to share with you a few numbers only to set the context to why, you know, metaphors are important and language is important when we're describing a particular scenario. So in 2019 in Ontario, 24.4% of undergraduate engineering students were women, according to the Ontario Women in Engineering. And they also reported that only 16.5% of engineering research faculty in Ontario are women, and 12.8% of professional engineers in Ontario are women. And that's recent, 2019, not that long ago. And according to Engineers Canada, 0.73% of engineers identify as Indigenous in Canada. This is problematic, especially when we know that truly inclusive, innovative solutions to really complex societal problems requires diverse teams of people to develop them. So when we have a profession such as engineering tackling many societal challenges, helping us to develop the technologies of our future, you know, when we don't have diverse people represented in these professions, what's the risk of our futures? And what's our moral obligation then as educators to really think deeply and critically about the systems that are at play? And how do we describe that system? And I think that's the question that you're getting at with this one. So, you know, traditionally and for a long time, STEM education often refers to a pipeline. And they often talk about a leaky pipeline where we have students, you know, starting in kindergarten and over time kind of leaking out of this pipeline. And so culminating to a profession where we don't have the diversity that we need because, you know, so many people kind of, you know, leak out of this pipeline. And, you know, this metaphor is problematic for a variety of reasons because I don't think our system is set up where these leaks along this pipeline is, you know, passive, where anyone can just fall out of this pipeline. In fact, I think this pipeline is designed in a particular way that pushes certain students out and quite early. And not only do we, you know, push students out, but we also filter only certain students out. So we filter and we pump out students at these junctions along the pipeline. The pipeline is also problematic because it implies that it's only one directional, right? There's a beginning and an end. There's one entry point and there's one exit at the end. And if you can't fit inside of this pipeline along that journey, then you leave the pipeline and there is no mechanism to bring you back. Once you leak out, and I'm using air quotes, what's going to bring you back if you change your mind? And this model is problematic for that reason. And you know, I'm speaking about STEM education, but I would argue that education broadly, this pipeline model is problematic. So then we move into a new metaphor. And, you know, we hear this metaphor a lot, pathways. Right. So pathways to their futures. Right. So, you know, the student is owning the journey and they're navigating pathways. And we offer many different pathways and we give them opportunity to choose when they reach a fork in the pathway. And, you know, I often wonder about when are these forks happening along the pathway and are they truly, really ready to make the kinds of decisions we're asking them to make at that time? And is there an opportunity for these pathways to come back to a different path because they've changed their mind. I also think that this model implies that the labor, the work that needs to happen solely lies on the student, that it's about them navigating pathways, right? And the assumption here is that every student knows where all the paths are so that they are willingly choosing the path that they wish to go on. But it's also assuming that these paths are all constructed the same and that they are accessible for all students. And so I'm reminded that not all paths look the same. You know, think about even how we conceptualize roads and paths and routes, right? There are graveled pathways, there are rocky pathways, there are pathways that have enormous hills, inclines, and some pathways lead to dead ends and with nowhere else to go. Or some paths you may not even really know you're on because someone else has chosen that path for you. So, you know, this model to me, although it's better than the pipeline, I often wonder about, you know, what's our responsibility as the constructors of these pathways to ensure that each student has the path that fits for them. And who are we to really, as a system, already suggest that we know what's best? And how do we, you know, not reach a point where we're forever creating pathways as a system and just to make sure every student has a path? So is this reasonable for us to be thinking about in creating the system that we want for our youth and our families and communities? So, you know, I think, you know, that metaphor, though it's better, I have lots of questions around, you know, that specific metaphor. I think for us right now, and in terms of how we're thinking about metaphors, what works for us at this moment, at this time, because, you know, I think I could only share what I'm thinking about right now, because it may be different a week from now or a year from now, is this notion of an ecosystem and how we all belong in this ecosystem. We are valuable members of this space, place, time, contributing to the larger system. And it's about human endeavor. It's about human, you know, humanity and creating the society collectively together that benefits all. And, you know, I think the goal is for us to think about how we help our young people to discover their place in this ecosystem, their worth, their value, their passions, how they wish to contribute to this society as a collective, but also as an individual. How do we create this ecosystem, this living body of all of us together that allows the space for our young people to discover who they are, who they wish to become, and dream, and actually work towards realizing their dream, you know, making it real. The work that we're going to do at K2I Academy is really about this space, right? So instead of classroom teachers, you know, feeling like they're alone, working every day to do what their part is, what would it look like for us to think about our educational ecosystem and how do we build that out so that it's not just the classroom teacher in their entity, the school by themselves, or the school board by themselves, or, you know, the government agency by themselves, but rather that we build the new future together within this ecosystem and really understand how we must better work together to make the changes we need to make. And when I say ecosystem, now we're broadening who our sector partners will need to be, right? It's about parents. It's about guardians. It's about government. It's about private industries. It's about post-secondary institutions. It's about nonprofit community organizations, right? And it's about any individual who wishes to be a part of this ecosystem to offer supports so that and offer collaborative work and taking action for this cause. So, you know, I think, you know, the thing that I bring to this work is an understanding about how diverse networks creates opportunity for innovative change. And I don't think we've done that really well in public education. And so when I think of, you know, creating a metaphor for the kind of work I think we need to do, right? And I think, you know, the ecosystem metaphor really resonates, at least, you know, with me. And I'm hoping that maybe I'm making a compelling enough case for others who are listening to this to really be thoughtful and critical about the kinds of language and metaphors we use and how it gets conceptualized in how we create mental models of systems that we play in. So there is actually a paper written by Dr. Walter C. Lee. He's from the States, and the paper's called Pipelines, Pathways, and Ecosystems, an Argument for Participation Paradigms. And he speaks specifically to STEM education, and he's done some work with the National Science Foundation in the States on engineering education in particular. So, you know, this kind of, you know, metaphorical model of the ecosystem is not, you know, cutting edge new. There are others who have been thinking critically about this as well. And I think, you know, for me, as I navigate the work that I do now, it's important for us to make sure that the language we use actually represents authentically what it is we're wishing to do.
Thank you, Lisa, so much for explaining those metaphors with such insight and depth and detail. Can you recommend, you know, three resources and or supports for educators who are interested in being more intentional about disrupting the existing kindergarten to industry pipeline?
In terms of resources, there's a couple of papers I think would be some good background reading. I've previously mentioned Dr. Walter Lee's paper on Pipelines, Pathways, and Ecosystems, an Argument for Participation Paradigms. It was published in the Journal of Engineering Education, and I think it very nicely speaks to the metaphors that I spoke to earlier. So take a look at what he's written in terms of thinking about metaphors in engineering education. There's also a publication that is available online. It's an American publication, and it was, I think, copyright 2012. And it's called Science, Technology, Engineering, Mathematics, STEM, Catalyzing Change Amid the Confusion. And it's actually a publication that speaks to STEM education in the United States. However, I do like the conceptualization of the different ways in which STEM education and STEAM education could be implemented and taken up by schools and educators. And it speaks to how there are multiple approaches to how you might implement STEM or STEAM education, and that it is not about one form that is better than the other. However, it is about really being intentional about how you approach the work based on the needs of your students. And you will see that it is highly grounded in science and math education. So, you know, to suggest you're going to tackle STEM without really thinking about how you're going to enhance equitable access and opportunity in science and math education goes counterintuitive to what, you know, STEM education is about. I challenge you to think about that. There's a couple of books that, you know, I like to reflect on and think about throughout my journey in my current role. And I go back to the, you know, the book Braiding Sweetgrass. I really like how it really gets to explore indigenous ways of knowing in science. And so if you haven't read it, I highly recommend it. It's a great book, Braiding Sweetgrass by Robin Wall Kimmerer. The other book that I can think of that is a bit more practical and maybe, you know, has you thinking about the different frameworks in which you design a science program is Visible Learning for Science, grades K to 12. It's published by Corin. And it talks about how to optimize student learning for science and the different approaches in which you might do that. And that it's not about one approach over the other, but it's about being intentional about which approach you use, when, and for what purpose and outcome. So it's quite a nicely written book that might be practical. The other book that I'm going to mention here is called Engineering Justice, Transforming Engineering Education in Practice. And this is something that I just started to read, and it was recommended by one of our engineering faculty members here at Lassonde, who's highly committed to innovating engineering education.
Lisa, thank you so much for suggesting those resources to our colleague community to help further build our toolkits. I would love to stay and engage in this conversation further, and we definitely do need a part two for this session so that we can, you know, speak more about pathways and pipelines and how to create this shift and move towards an educational ecosystem. But unfortunately, we have to go. We gotta wrap this up. So on behalf of the Equity, Anti-Racism, and Anti-Oppression team, we want to thank you for stopping by and chatting with us because the time is now to reimagine the kindergarten to industry pipeline.
Okay, colleagues, that's all for today. We look forward to you joining us for our next courageous conversation. If you like this episode, don't forget to share it with a colleague and post it on social media using the hashtag TDSB Talks. Bye for now.